guys, today we are starting something new that's been we've been waiting for a while on. Honestly, we've been trying to put together a series on through the book of Genesis that we could walk through together as a church and take a look at the Lord through fresh eyes. And so the title of our series that we're going to be going through is Back to the Beginning, Finding the Forever Character of God. And as you look through the book of Genesis, the first book in your Bible, you can't help but notice that all of these people who encounter Yahweh God, the eternal God of creation, of everlasting to everlasting, are encountering him for the very first time. We have ages and millennia of records of God's faithfulness, of his historical accounts of what he's done. They had none of that. In fact, we're going to look today at the account of the first days of creation. And all of these who go on from there would see God for the first time. They're learning the first things about his forever character. And I want us to be able to go through this book of Genesis, written most likely by the man Moses. You know who Moses is. This was written down by Moses, authored by the Holy Spirit of God himself, but written down by Moses probably during the time of the wilderness wanderings. You remember we talked about this a while back, where Moses would meet face to face with God. Not that he would see him necessarily, but they would meet personally, and God would talk with Moses. Around this time is probably when this was penned. And it's an account of all that God did from creation onward until the end of the book. And so we're going to look at this together, and we're going to focus on the transcendent characters of God, characteristics of God. You might know what it means to ascend. That means to go what? To go up. You might know what it means to descend, to go down. But probably most of us have never transcended. That's only for God. That means not to go up, not to go down, but to go out of, to go beyond, to go over. And so we're going to see a lot of things about our world, about our experience, and we're going to see that God was outside, is outside of all that. He's above, he's over it, he is a transcendent God. And we're going to start today with Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to read the first chapter, but we'll focus in on verses 1 and 2. We're going to talk about God's power to create. We're going to talk about his transcendent qualities. There's an old story about God, just a funny story is all, about God and the expert. God was sitting in heaven one day, and an expert said to him, "God, we don't need you anymore." God said, "Oh?" He said, "Yes, man has finally figured out a way to create life out of nothing. Just like you did, Lord, we've come in our place of genetics and our place of advancement where, Lord, it's nothing special what you did. In other words, we can now do just what you did in the beginning." And God said, "Oh, is that so? Well, explain this to me." And the expert said, "Well, we can take dirt, and just like you did, we can form it into the likeness of you, God, and we can even breathe life into it, thus creating man." "That's very interesting," God said. "Why don't you show me?" So the expert bent down to the earth and starts to mold the soil gently into the shape of a man and crafting out the features. And God stops him and says, "No, no, no. You get your own dirt," right? God is the creator of all things. And as we come to the beginning, there are many theories that have to do with how our universe, how our world, how even our lives came about. You know some of these series, some of these theories, but all of them have one thing in common. They start with something. Here's my question. Where did the something come from? You might think about the Big Bang theory that summarizes that a collection of dense matter came together in space and became so weighty and so heavy, packed together, that first it condensed and then it expanded into all we know. You might think of the a theory that has to do with space aliens, that aliens have created all of this. In each case, we come back to the same question: where did they come from? Where did the matter come from? That condensed into a large bang, you might say. Where did the creatures come from who have done all this? Everything has to start somewhere. And in fact, in all of our existence, everything that is came from something that already was, with the exception of God alone. God is the prime mover in philosophical terms. He is the one who came out of nothing, and everything he created came out of nothing as well. And so let's read this. We're going to look at verses 1 and onward in chapter 1. Let me read this for us. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening and there was morning the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth. And the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light to the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures." Your Bible might say teem. "Let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens." So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things, and beasts of the earth according to their kinds." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the heavens and of the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed Adam, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life. I have given every green plant for food, and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the earth, and there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Chapter 2, just verses 1 through 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done. And he had rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. I wish there was so much time that we could go through this chapter together, but we're going to focus in just on the first two verses, and then some, but the first two verses mainly. And we're going to look at what the beginning tells us about the beginner. What does what we see in creation, his acts in creation, tell us about him? There are four realizations about our limitless God that I want us to go over today. The first is this: God is limitless over time. The Lord, the Creator, is limitless over time. I want you to notice here, when did God act? He acted in this text in the what? In the beginning. We think of the beginning as the start of all things, but there is one thing here. There's one thing that did not start at the beginning, and that is the beginner. And so we have a time frame here where there is a creation that begins the heavens and the earth, the cosmos, the universe, this planet, come into being when they, before that, were not in being. They did not exist at all. And we know the fact that the one who caused that to happen has to exist before. You know that from your parents. You know that before you existed, they had to exist before. You know that from ninth grade in high school, that before ninth grade, middle school had to exist before. In everything we experience, there's always a beginning. I love it when little kids, you'll hear like a two-year-old come and tell you a story about when they were a baby. You ever heard that? They'll waddle up and you know, they're barely, they say, when I was a baby, or when I was, I love that when I was little, I used to talk this way. Everybody looks back to a time of beginning. We're used to that. There is nothing that we know of that did not come from something else. But here at the beginning, it is the beginning of us. It is the beginning of this world. It is even the beginning of all the universe. It's the beginning of all of this, but it is not, it cannot be the beginning of God. It cannot, because God instituted the beginning of all that we've discussed here already. Everything does not start at the beginning. God is limitless over time. He exists outside of time. See, time takes a toll on us. We don't have anything that we walk with in this world that does not change over time. That time does not have some type of withering effect on. I walked into a life group this morning and found a group there, and I had seen a picture on Facebook of Chip and Charlene young, when they were young. This was a dating picture that y'all, one of you guys had put as your profile, I guess for Valentine's Day coming up or anniversary, something. And there you two were, arm in arm, I mean, just as youthful, full of hair, Chip. You had hair as can be. And listen, I didn't mean anything by this, but I looked at the picture. Erica showed it to me. She said, look at Chip and Charlene. And I looked at it. I said, boy, Chip looks exactly the same. And I walked in y'all's classroom this morning, and I said, Chip, I looked at that picture, and you don't look like you've changed at all. As soon as I said it, I knew I was in trouble. Because that infers that Charlene, you look like you've changed. I didn't mean that, but I could see the gears grinding behind Charlene's eyes. I could see the laser beam start to heat up. I could tell I wanted to leave. I could tell I'd done something wrong. I didn't mean anything by it. It's just that Chip resembled his old self. And anyway, go on. Nothing more than that. But we're used to time making a difference, aren't we? Listen, when it comes to time, what's significant about this to us? When it comes to time, time has no effect on the Creator God. He existed outside of time. In fact, there was never a time that God did not exist. We can't imagine that. That's outside of our comprehension. We could try analogies and comparisons and illustrations. We could try all day long. We will not be able to fully comprehend who God is in his everlasting character. There's no way. But it is so. Time does not affect our God. It doesn't limit God. It doesn't do anything to wither him. He does not grow old. He does not weaken. He does not wear out. You know, well, God was powerful back then. Is he still powerful today? Absolutely. All this time has passed. Not for God, it hasn't. I don't mean to say that God can endure time. I mean to say that God is other than time. He exists out. He transcends time. It has no effect on him. He does not wear out. His nature, his character, his precepts, his values, his morality, they do not weaken either. They're fixed. They are eternal. Look what these some verses say later on in Scripture. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, here's what the Bible has to say. For I, the Lord, do not what? I do not change. I, the Lord, do not change. Psalm 33, the counsel of the Lord stands forever. Psalm 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. This is a God, not only does his countenance and his power not wither, his nature, his character, you might could say his personality, his precepts, his dictates, they are eternal. His wisdom doesn't fade. God, times have changed, Lord. You know, I know you said this. I know that it's written in your word. I trust that. But Lord, times have changed. Does your wisdom still stand? Yes, it does stand. It absolutely still stands. Well, Lord, what about this issue here? Has your wisdom dissipated? Lord, have you adapted? No. No, time does not alter God. And we can see in this a warning. It has something to say about our modern impulse to interpret all things through the lens of the present. Don't we have that arrogance in us as humans to interpret all things through the lens of the present? There's a warning about this here with regard to our current issues of perhaps sexuality and gender. Have you thought about that? Have you thought about the Lord here and how he doesn't change? Look in verse 27 with me. We see some early indication of God's wisdom in creation. What does verse 27 say of chapter 1? As he's creating man in his image, he created them male and he created them female. This is no accident that Moses included this. Let me just tell you, Genesis is a master work of literature. There are some other works of literature that are more folksy and more rough in Scripture. Genesis is laid out in its structure, in its format, in its method, in every way. It's masterful. I mean, it is a masterwork. There is no accident that included here is this distinction that God, in his intentionality, set out in creation to create human beings male and to create them female. Lord, surely time has changed that. God say, no, I'm an eternal God, and forever my word is firmly fixed in the heaven. God blessed them in verse 28, and here's what he said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. What was God's intention in creating them male and female? It was an intention that they would multiply, that they would bear fruit, that they would be fruit-bearing creatures. This is the intention behind that. Lord, in 2021, has all of this changed? Lord, surely you need to catch up with the what? Times. We were in my little minivan this morning on the way to church, and we were talking about the snowball party with the kids, and somebody said, I made a new friend there, and one of the other kids said, well, you know, what's his name? And he said the name, and the name was one of those you couldn't tell, you know, if it was necessarily a boy's name or a girl's name. And one of the other children said, was it a boy or a girl? And somebody piped up and said, you better be careful asking that. It's 2021. What's the inference there? The inference is that we live in a time where things have changed. Has God changed? No. Has his morality changed? No. Has his ability to see you and to love you changed? No, it has not. God is limitless over time. The God of no beginning is endlessly able and never fading in any of his qualities. It is we who are in a position to trust and to obey him, not the reverse. And many times this God of timeless eternity, of everlasting existence before even the day of creation, we want to look at him and say, Lord, you twist and contort to who we need to be for this time. And God says, no, I'm timeless. It is you who ought to love, who ought to obey, and who ought to trust me. But God is also limitless beyond space. In the beginnings, God created two things in verse 1. He created the heavens and he created the earth. Now, it's one thing for us to say, yes, God created the earth, but what about the heavens? And we come to the realization that even the heavens, even space, even the universe did not exist before God acted in this way. You say, well, what did exist? Was there any place to occupy? No, there was only God. Well, was there the cosmos and the no, there were no galaxies. Was there anything? No, it was God created all things. Before creation, there was nothing but God, not even space. He created the furthest galaxy with billions of stars, and he created the smallest atom, those little miniature solar systems with revolving electrons and protons. And now scientists have discovered, what are they called, leptons and quarks. And he created the smallest to the greatest. God created the heavens, and he created the earth. There is no place, not just in our sphere of existence, but in all creation, that God does not reign, that he does not have freedom to go and to be God. I was sitting last night on our couch, and I had my laptop in my lap. We had a fire going in the fireplace. The boys, Jackson had a friend over. Wyatt was at our house, and they'd been playing outside in the snow, and all the kids came in and took off their socks and their gloves and everything and hung them over the little grate by the fireplace. And I was sitting there, and I thought, man, something smells awful. Like, what is this smell? And I was looking around, and I was like, a smell I never smelled before. I mean, I've been around a little bit, and I never smelled this smell. And I thought, what is that? And I looked around. I just forgot about it, and it got worse and worse. And finally, I looked over there. There's all those socks hung up there. They weren't melting. It wasn't that kind of smell. It was just teenage smell being heated up on a fire, you know. It spread through the whole house, upstairs, downstairs. You know, the smell that kind of gets trapped in your nose hairs, right? You can't escape it. Everywhere I went, there was that smell. There's not a shadow, not a corner of our house where you guys didn't spoil it for me. And so, yeah, no, it's both of you. But you know what? I don't want to compare the Lord to a smell like that, I guess, but the same is true of God. God, where can you go? God, where do you reign? Lord, where do you rule? Is there a place I can go where it doesn't apply, Lord, where you're not there? No, there's no place like that. There is no Las Vegas where God doesn't see. There's no place that it stays there away from the eyes of God. There is no place on the planet or in the cosmos, that darkest, coldest hole of space, God is there, and his righteousness applies. There's no place that he does not rule with immutable and complete authority. Not Australia, not Vegas, not the moon. Every place God rules with perfect, with complete authority. There is no place on earth or in the cosmos that his standards of righteousness do not fully apply to all his creatures. Every place. There is no place on planet earth or in the cosmos where he does not perfectly perceive all things. The Bible says in Psalm 139, where can I go from your presence? If I go to the highest heavens, you are there. If I go to the pit, you are there. If I take up the wings of the morning and dwell in the furthest, most uttermost parts of the sea, even there you are with me and your right hand will hold me fast. No, you will not escape the Lord. Wherever you find yourself, there he is. Wherever you find yourself, he sees you. That's an encouragement. Are you hurting? Are you in a place in life that's just dark? You never thought you would find yourself here. You never thought the pain would last this long. When will it end, Lord? The Lord is there. Are you in a place of sin today? Lord, I'm hiding. I'm getting away with this. Lord, I've been able to do it. You really don't see this, do you? I don't think you're awake to this, God. Oh, no, he sees. Oh, no, the Lord sees. No matter where you go, there is God. The uttermost part of the sea, the wings of the dawn, the Lord is there. See, the God of no boundaries is unconfined in his presence and uncontained in his power throughout every inch of all that exists everywhere. God is limitless beyond space, but also God is limitless in his being. Look here in verse 1. There's a strange thing that happens only in the original language. The words God and created are in different tenses. The word God is in the singular tense. He, you might say, God, singular. The word created is it's a verb, and it is in the plural tense. They don't match up. This would be like saying they, plural, right? You say they gives me a present. We don't say that, do we? It's a mismatch. It'd be the same as saying, he give me a present. It's a mismatch. It'd be like saying, he go to the store. No, we don't say that. We don't say they goes to the store either. Now, in this work that we've talked about, that is just masterful in both its scribeship and its inspiration by the Holy Spirit, this is no accident that God puts this here. It tells us something about the plural unity of God. That God exists as one being in three persons. Father, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. This language reveals that to us. That God is co-equal. This is a quality of the triune God. That he is co-eternal. That he is consubstantial. That all of these beings within the Godhead, one being, three persons, all of these persons share equality within the Godhead. They share eternality. God the Father did not create the Lord Jesus. He did not create him. They are co-eternal, and they share the same substance. They are consubstantial. What does this mean for us? It means that God is complete in his work. It means he's complete. We sang a song a few moments ago, Trey, the choir special, I believe. There was a line in there that said, the Savior is ever by my side. Did I get that right? The Savior is ever by my side. How can we have confidence that God is able, that he's able to be both powerful and loving, that he is able to both save and to redeem? How do we know that God is able to do it? Because he is fully complete. He is limit. He is not like us in his being. There is no comparison. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 25 says this: to whom then will you compare me, that I should be like them, says the Holy One? Who can we compare God to? You see, the God of no comparison is able to exceed even our highest point of reference for who he is and what he can perform. God is an unlimited God. His power and His work toward us are complete. We have the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, who brings to us the love of God the Father, who does so through the life of God the Son. Do you see the perfection of God's work toward, as perfect as He worked toward creation, is the same perfection within which He works in your life today. But lastly, God is limitless in His works. God is limitless in His works. Here's what the verse 2 has to say. The earth has been created by God. The heavens, the cosmos, been created, right? We've got that. God did that. And here was the status of the earth. The earth was without form, and it was void. You might just imagine a dark, empty, undeveloped place. And darkness was over the face of the deep. And so there may have been water there, and it's just all dark. There's no lights. And the Spirit of God was doing what? Was hovering over the face of the waters. You know, this was read from the moon by the astronauts who went there, and they looked back on the earth at the majesty of God's creation, and they read this from outer space over the radio back to earth. God was about to do something big. There He was. The Spirit was there. The darkness was there. The deep was there. And the Spirit of God was what? He was hovering. He was ready. Something was about to happen. God was about to do something big. And I want you to know the truth today, that the same God, the same Spirit who created life, the same Spirit who stood ready to act, is the same one who creates new life in you. This is the one who stands ready, who has been hovering around your life, not to create you into existence, but to create something new and miraculous in you. And so I want to ask you this morning, does how you're living reflect that you've comprehended the bigness of God? Let me say that again. Does how you are living, does how you walked in here today, does how you walked out of the office on Friday when you shut off the light and you went out, I mean, does how you're going about your world, does it reflect any notion, any evidence that you have comprehended the bigness of God? And does how you're living reflect that you've experienced the power of God? Or are you living with a smallness toward God? That's a question only you can answer. God reveals Himself to us in the way He has. In this grand creation account, He reveals us Himself to us in this way because He wants to do an unmatched work. And He wants to do an unmatched work in you this morning. Of not creation, but of re-creation. Are you living a remade life? Is that you today? Or are you living in a way that understands this limitless God? God desires nothing less for you, and He stands ready to change everything. And He stands able to do it if you would let Him. Let me pray for us. Just a moment, I'd like to offer you a time of response. Maybe today you need to come and say something to the Lord, a word from your heart to His. The floor will be open for that in just a moment for you to come down and bend the knee and pray if you need to. I'll be here, and you're welcome to come talk to me and to seek counseling or for me to pray with you. I'll be happy to. No pressure, but we stand ready to do that if that's something you need. This morning, maybe you say, Matthew, I've never experienced the bigness of God in my life. Lord, it's just something I've never had, and God, I want that now. Maybe you need to be saved today. Maybe the reason you're not living that is because you've never come to the cross of Christ. The Spirit of God has never communicated the love of God the Father to your heart through the life of Christ the Son, because you've never accepted His free gift of salvation. You can come today for that. Maybe today you would come to confess sin, or maybe just to say, Lord, God, I've been living small. Lord, you know the time that You called me. You know the time that You claimed me and cleansed me. Lord, I'm Yours. But Father, I have been living small. And make me more aware and more reflective of your greatness. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God today, and thank you for trusting it to us. Thank you for this account of your creation and all that it tells us about you. And I pray, Lord, Holy Spirit, that you would find a way to work this into our hearts, to come through all that might may be shading us or all that may be protecting us, defending us against your Spirit. I pray that that would break away. You would come in and find a way to change us, that we would walk differently because we have a God who is different than anything else in all creation. Thank you, Lord, that you transcend. Thank you, God, that you are other than, because, Lord, we need nothing less than that type of God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing, and as we do, you're invited to respond.